And let me introduce you something this morning that may be just a reintroduction to some of you all, but please, timing is everything. I'm believing the timing on this message is just what it's supposed to be. 1 Peter chapter 1. And by the way, brother, new year, first Sunday of a new year. I don't know how your last year went, but it's over. Let me say it again. If you had a great year last year, it's over. If you had a terrible year last year, it's over. God is a God of new beginnings. Is that right? First Sunday, new year, we ought to be optimistic because that's what faith is. It's very optimistic. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, dealing with the subject of faith. Verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through what, everybody? Faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in what? Heaviness, just for a little season, if it's necessary, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, just if it needs to be for a little while, but the trial of our faith being tested, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You know what he says? That gold, that money, that materialism, that's not more important than the trial of your faith. If it's necessary, God tests our faith to build our faith, and that's more important to go, though it, faith, be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet what? Say it, believing, faith. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, brethren, the whole context there is faith. Believing, if you would. And he says this, that trial of faith is more precious than gold. Somebody says, man, if there's anything I'd have, I'd like to have more money. What we ought to say, if there's anything that I have, it would be more faith. Would you agree with that? Because faith is going to do so much for us, getting us through a time where gold won't do. Millionaires get depressed. Millionaires get discouraged. Millionaires have internal turmoil, both male and female millionaires, that we don't need to have when we have faith. Would you agree with that? There's something about faith, the intangible, that's on the inside that does, if you would, manifest itself on the outside. But if there's anything we want this year, we want our faith to increase. Would you agree with that? So he says, I'm going to try your faith. I'm going to test it. Do we really believe what we believe? I'm going to say it again. I know that. Oh, come on. Philosophy. Simple thing. Do we really believe what we say we believe? I'm a Christian. But do I really believe what I say I believe? The only way to find out is to put it to the test. And every once in a while, God says, all right, Doug, you say you believe it, but let's see how much you believe. I'm going to set something up in your life, and we're going to try your faith a little bit. It's only going to be for a little season. It's only going to be for a little while. And it says, if need be, may I say this? God knows what we need more than we know what we need. If need be, he says, just for a little while, so your faith gets tested, but it's going to come out more precious than gold that perisheth. I'm going to put you through the test, and we're going to find out if you really believe what you say you believe. Look at 1 Peter 4, and we'll get into a couple of examples. 1 Peter 4, turn over there. Do we really believe what we say we believe? 1 Peter 4, and look at what it says in verse number 12. First word is what? Say it. Beloved. One more time, everybody say it, what? Beloved. That's talking about Christians, would you agree? Beloved. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. So that means every once in a while, there's going to be a fiery trial. It didn't say it might try it. It says it will try us. So every once in a while, it is necessary for God to put us through that trial that tries our faith, just so we see that we really do believe what we believe. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You know what we think sometimes? I've thought this. What in the world is going on? Why is this all happening to me? And the Holy Spirit says, that's not a strange thing. It happens to everybody. We want your faith to grow. Verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. The idea is, if we go through this trial, This fiery trial. God knows exactly how much we can take. God always says He'll not tempt us above that which we're able. He'll always give us that escape. But that fiery trial is necessary sometimes to convince us that we really believe what we say we believe. Would you agree with that statement? Now, I know some of you are going, maybe right now, I'm having a hard time getting into this message. I go to church. Do I really believe what I say I believe? And going to church is a way to increase our faith, but it doesn't necessarily is an end-all. And by that, I mean this. You go to work. They say, well, did you go to church this week? Sure did. And you know what they're thinking? I wonder if that guy or gal really believes what they say they believe. First of all, we've got to know if we really believe what we say we're going to believe. And brother, would you agree with this? People around us want to know if we really believe what we say we believe. Would you agree with this statement? Relatives watch us. I'll say it from down south. Your kinfolk watch you. They watch. Your fellow employees, they watch you. Your neighbors, they watch you. And you know what they're looking at? Do they really believe what they say believe? Are they genuine? Are they the genuine article? Is their faith really genuine? Have I finally met somebody whose faith is very, very genuine and maybe something that I want? Do I really believe what I say I believe? And what does other people think? Look at Genesis 22 and Hebrews 11. You're doing well. Genesis 22, stay with me, and Hebrews 11. Just a few scriptures this morning. Genesis 22 and Hebrews chapter 11. The fiery trial. The trial of faith, more precious than gold, to show us that what we believe is real and genuine. Genesis 22, thank you, and Hebrews chapter 11. I'll show you just a couple of quick examples. Genesis 22, our faith will be tried this year. My faith will be tried this year. Your faith will be tried this year. Genesis 22, Hebrews 11, make a statement. If we follow God's will all the year long, there will be some need-bes. If so, need-be. For a season, you're in heaviness through manifold what? Temptations. A couple of times this year, a few times this year, if we follow God's will, God will say, all right, it's necessary. Let's let you go through it a little bit. Let's try your faith a little bit. When somebody's faith is being tried, it doesn't mean they're out of God's will. They're right in the middle of God's will. So many times we as Christians, oh, look at that brother, he's really going through it. Man, we ought to rejoice. They're going through it because God's trying their faith. We ought to look at it on a positive atmosphere and look at it. Hey, you have children that grow up and they become adults. We ought to look at it and say, hey, my son or my daughter is going through a trial of faith right now. Praise the Lord. Let's not put them down. Let's not condemn them. Let's lift them up and see them through it. Amen. Parents, we are very gracious with our own children. We are very long-suffering with our own children. Shouldn't we be with other people's children? Come on now. I mean, we look at our sons or daughters going through it and as adults or something like that, and we go, well, just give them a little time. Why don't we say the same thing about other kids? About other children going through it. Let's give them a little time too. You know what's a bad thing? This is a bad thing. Somebody that's very respectable in the church house, that the children who've grown up here and as adults look to, and they come by and condemn a person or judge a child. That child takes it now as an adult very, very to heart who criticizes them. Are we all right with this? Wouldn't you agree with this? The pastor here. I've been pastoring here now. I think I'm in my 17th year. If I come up to a child who's now an adult and put them down, that will impact them. Same with you. We better keep it careful. I love the fact that in our congregation right now are many single adults staying in church. You're welcome here. And we know you're going to go through some things, but let me tell you something. It's a little secret that we 40-year-olds and above keep. We go through it too. We don't want to tell you that, but we go through it too. And what you're going through right now, we've been there and worse. So what I'm telling you this year is hang in there. Stay with it. So God tries your faith a little bit. Stay with it. And if somebody comes up and says a little bit of something to you that just, oh man, that just hurt me a great deal. Hang in there. We're not doing it for people. We're doing it for God anyways. Maybe that's just a little trial of your faith. Look at, are we okay with that? Man, I want all of our single adults to make it through another year. I want them to make it through 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 and 22 and 23. Man, if they can make it through those years, there's a good chance they're going to stick for life. Amen? Those are tough years. You say, what about those teenagers' years? I imagine those are tough too, but those 18 through 23-year-old years, man, if they can hang in there through those years and hang on and stay in church, they're going to make it. Amen? Look back now with your book. Look at Genesis 22 and Hebrews 11. Genesis 22. Sometimes God tests us with that which we love most. Let me say this again. Sometimes God's testing and trials comes about with that which we love most. We don't have to read too far, but if you've never read it, you ought to read sometime Genesis 22, but we'll pick it up very quickly in verse 9. God has asked Abraham to take his only begotten son. That's what the book says. His only begotten son. You say it says his only son, and Hebrew says his only begotten son. Well, what about Ishmael? That wasn't the only begotten one. This one was the promised one. Isaac, the one that Abraham waited for. They came, verse 9, to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. And bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Statement, God would never ask Abraham to do something he wouldn't do himself. Let me make the statement again. God would never ask Abraham to do something he wouldn't do himself. Because God did give his only begotten son. The difference is God let his son die. Amen. But he didn't leave him. He resurrected him. Amen. So look what he says here. And Abraham stretched forth his hand in verse 10 and took the knife to slay his son. And that angel of the Lord shows up there out of heaven and says, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You know what God was looking for? Let's test Abraham's faith a little bit, and let's make sure that Abraham still loves God above anything else. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And then Abraham said this in verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That means God supplies. God's going to provide. You know what he said? Hey, God took the time that he was going to use me to sacrifice my son, and he provided a ram instead. What was the end result of this? Verse 16, look at it, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. You know what he says? Abraham, because you have survived the trial of faith, because you've been tested and tried and found out to be good, and that you love me above even your son, and you were willing to even give me your only son, that which you love the most, I'm going to bless you in a marvelous way. That trial that faced helped him, but notice, if you would, in Hebrews 11, we get a little picture behind the scenes of what's going on in Abraham's mind. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Stay with me. Abraham offers that which he loves most, and it doesn't matter. You say, I don't have any children. God can use whatever it is that we love most. And sometimes he'll try us with that. But look behind the scenes, if you would, just a little bit. Look at Hebrews 11 and notice what was going on in Abraham's mind. Verse 17 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was, say it. Brethren, what was tried? His faith. His faith was tried. When he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only what? Begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now wait a minute. Here's what's going on behind the scene. Here's what's going on inside of Abraham. Here's what's going on in his mind. Verse 19. Abraham accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You know what was going on in Abraham's mind? God wants me to kill this boy, I'm going to do it, because I know God can raise him back up again. I can set the knife down on this boy and plunge it in and do just what God told me to do, and I know God is able to bring him back to life again. So in his mind, he was operating by faith. He hadn't seen that boy die and be risen again from the dead, but he believed God could do it. So he said, if God wants me to kill this boy, I'm going to do it, because I know God is able to bring him back to life again. That's faith. And that's that trial. And brethren, that's what God was testing. Look up here. He was testing on what was in the inside. God could already see what Abraham believed. He already knew. And what he was testing was that on the inside. But please look up here. But it had to manifest itself on the outside. Faith always does that. Faith on the inside, when it grows enough, it will come out on the outside sooner or later. When you're great, there will be actions based on faith. Faith without works is dead. So the action that Jesus, or that God asked Abraham to go through, was to take the knife and plunge it down. But Abraham was willing to do it because of what he believed on the inside. And when he was right there ready to, and he fully intended to, but he thought, God can raise you back up, son. God can raise you back up. I wonder if he did it with tears. Doesn't say. I wonder if he wept while he was walking up to the mount. I wonder if any tears clouded his eyes a little bit. It doesn't say, but brethren, I have to tell you, he loved that son. I just can't think that his eyes didn't glass over just a little bit, a few times along the trail. I wonder if he cried privately. Because emotionally, he was letting go of that boy. He fully intended. But you know what he was doing? Just like Hannah gave her son, he was ready to give his son. Sometimes that faith trial is, oh, I can go through it, Lord. Just bring it on. Better be careful. God can bring it on, and we just think, how can I ever do this, Lord? And it breaks us on the inside, and it humbles us. But that trial is more important than precious gold. Look at the second one, Genesis 39. Stay with me. We okay? Genesis 39. We're going to go through some faith trials. You may even be in it right now. Genesis 39. And would you pick up 1 Peter chapter 2? Just a few more scriptures today. We're trying your faith. Amen? Come on. You're doing well. First Sunday of the new year, let's get ready for some faith trials this year. And let's be found faithful as we get through them. Genesis 39. I really believe right now, if the trumpet blows this afternoon, this is the right message for the morning. Genesis 39 and 1 Peter chapter 2. If the trumpet doesn't blow, come back tonight. I can't wait for tonight's message. Genesis 39 and 1 Peter chapter 2. Second little example, trial of faith. A little bit different. Genesis 39, verse 19. And it came to pass, this is Joseph, when his master, Potiphar, heard the words of his wife, Potiphar's wife, which also she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath, Potiphar, was kindled. And Joseph's master, Potiphar, took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Statement, Joseph had not done anything wrong. It was a trial of faith where he had done nothing wrong and somebody had lied about him. Let me say this again. Abraham's trial of faith was God to Abraham. But this trial of faith was somebody lied about him. Somebody said he had done something that he had not done, and it was a setup. How did Joseph feel about it? Look at chapter 40. Look at verse 15. Chapter 40, verse 15. Notice a little insight to how Joseph felt about it. For indeed, he said, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. Remember what his brothers did to him? For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And look what he says. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. That gives us a little insight to his mindset, because he said, I'm here in the dungeon and I've done nothing wrong. He was falsely accused and he was put in that prison and left there. And we know he was there over 2 years. 2 years in that prison, and he had done nothing wrong other than somebody had believed a lie. But he didn't get mad at God. Somebody lied about him. Somebody had set him up. And here he was in prison, but he didn't get mad at God. God was with him through the whole way. Sometimes we go through the trial of our faith where someone says something about us and we've not really done anything wrong. It's a setup. It's a lie. It's a misperception. Look at this scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2. You're doing well. Some of our trials of faith is like, Lord, you know I've not done anything wrong in this thing, and look what I'm going through. 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice the scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse, you know, don't you? 20. Remember, Joseph's in prison, had done nothing wrong. 1 Peter 2:20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. He says, if you do wrong and you're buffeted, you're beat up for that, you take it patiently. But if, watch, when you do well, And by the way, Joseph had done well, would you agree? He had watched over Potiphar's house. He had taken care of his business, and he was not involved with Potiphar's wife. When you do well and suffer for it. Here you are, Joseph, you're in prison. You've done well, and now you're suffering for it. But when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called. What do you mean we were called to suffer wrongfully and take it patiently? Because Christ also suffered for us. Would you agree with this? He suffered wrongfully but took it patiently. They accused him. He didn't do anything wrong. There was no sin in him, but they accused him of this and that. Would you agree with that? He died for our wrongdoings. Let me say that again. He died for our wrongdoings. We helped put him on the cross. Our sin helped put him on the cross. They accused him falsely, saying he'll destroy this temple and raise it up. They didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't do anything wrong. They set up lies. They set up false accusers. Brethren, in your business, in your home, in your neighborhood, in life, sooner or later, you may get set up. Someone well-meaning may judge you and have a perception, and it's a wrong perception, and you know in your heart, I've not done what they said I've done. God, you know I've not done what I said I've done. You know I'm clean in this matter. You know, but there's no way they're going to believe me. And God says, no, when that happens, and you suffer for it, and you take it patiently, that's acceptable with God. Because that's what Christ did. You mean God would allow that to happen? To try our faith, he might. To see if we have the genuine article on the inside, he might. To see if what we believe is really what we believe, he might. The Bible says if we suffer as a Christian, if we suffer wrongfully and we take it patiently, if we be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. It's in 1 Peter 4. The idea, brethren, if we go through something and we know in our hearts, I didn't do that. But how can I make them think I didn't? And you just say, okay, I got to turn it over to you, Lord. You know what I'm going through. You know this trial. You know what? You know exactly what's going on. You know in my heart. You know I'm being falsely accused. And God looks down and says, just testing your faith, boy. Just testing your faith, girl. Just testing your faith, daughter. Just testing your faith, son. Just a little trial for a little while. Just so you know what it feels like. I want you to be more Christ-like. And I want you to know what my son went through for you. They beat him. He didn't do anything wrong. They whipped him. He didn't do anything wrong. He was literally the scapegoat and took upon himself our punishment. Would you agree with that? And like a lamb, dumb before his slaughters, didn't say a word. Took it. That's character. Somebody says, you believe in that wimpy Jesus? I don't believe in that wimpy Jesus. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the strongest man I've ever known. You say you've met him, met him. I've met him through the pages of this book. And anybody who has enough control to take it and be beaten and be brought close to death and not say a word, I have a lot of respect for. It takes more of a man to control his temper than to let it out. It takes more of a woman to control her temper than to let it out. And he sat there under control and let them beat on him. And knew he had done nothing wrong, and knew that was his purpose. Amen. So we got to look at it sometimes and say, oh man, here I am. I feel like I'm being falsely accused. And Lord, you know this isn't fair. And the Lord knows it's not fair. He knows that. Well, then why would God do this? So you can be partakers of his suffering. So we can go through it. We can go through it like he's been through it. I don't look forward to that kind of stuff. Somebody says, oh, Lord, put me through it. Don't pray for me that way. Because I already know he's going to put me through it. That's part of it. Is what we have inside really what we believe? I need to show you another one. Look at Exodus chapter 5. I'm watching your time. Exodus chapter 5. I really might want to cut one of these out just for the sake of time. I don't want to test you above that which you're able. Amen. Exodus chapter 5. Come on now. Exodus chapter 5. And I'll just give you this in a more brief way than I had planned on for the time's sake. Exodus 5. In Exodus chapter 5, oh, it happens. Sometimes we may be falsely accused, or other times he may test which we love the most. Now watch, Exodus 5, you're doing well. Look at verse 22. And thanks for staying right with me. Exodus 5, verse 22. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Now remember, God had told Moses, here's what's going to happen, here's what you're going to do. And that what was taking place here in verse 7 and 8, they had taken away the straw. And they had required them to make just as much brick as before and even more. And just the oppression of making brick without straw had come upon the people. And they had come to Moses and just let him have it. And God was telling Moses what to do. And Moses was trying to accomplish it. But Moses wasn't told that the straw was going to be taken away. But God knew that. And so Moses goes back to the Lord and said, basically, I don't understand what's going on here, Lord. Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered by thy people at all. You know what Moses says? I don't understand. I don't see where I'm at. You told me to do this. I'm doing this, but it just doesn't seem like it's working out like you told me. It just seems like it's falling apart even more. And you're supposed to deliver the people, and they're not being delivered. In fact, it's getting worse. Lord, I just don't know what's going on. That's one of those trials. Statement. Did you ever make a decision by faith and really thought you got God's leading? I mean, you prayed about it, you fasted about it, you sought the Lord in prayer, and you made that decision, and you even had peace about it after you made that decision, and you made that decision, and about 4 weeks later, it really got bad. It just seemed like it was all falling apart. And you start second-guessing yourself, and Lord, I thought you said to do it, and I did it, thinking you were in this whole thing, and I fasted, and I prayed, and I waited, and I thought. And now the whole thing's falling apart, Lord. Maybe I didn't get your will. Maybe I got my will. And maybe I don't know what's going on, but it just doesn't look good right now. Have you ever been there? Ladies, if you're married, your husband will go through that. Let me say it again. Ladies, let me help you just a moment. Ladies, wives, your husband sooner or later will wait and fast and pray and make a decision. And 2 months later, it'll look like it's all falling apart. And ladies, here's what you'll want to say. Are you sure you prayed about that? Are you sure you got God's mind on that? It doesn't look good right now. And all the guy can say is, I think I prayed about it. I hope I prayed about it. I thought I was doing right. I think it'll work out. And he's trying to convince himself. Do you know what I'm talking about, guys? If it hasn't happened yet, it will. If you're just newly married, it will happen, guys. Oh, I'm going to pray and fast about everything, honey, and I'll get God's will, and I'll make all the right decisions. You'll make a decision one time that the Holy Spirit will lead you to make, and then he'll take the straw away. You'll face your AI. And say, I don't know what AI is. It's when Joshua went up and everything had just gone well at Jericho. And the next thing you know, they're being defeated. And Joshua is just, people have now died. And here's what Joshua says. Listen to this. Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelled on the other side of Jordan. You know what he's doing? He's second guessing himself because they had just been defeated. And he's wanting to turn back. And sooner or later, ladies, you'll make a decision that you thought you prayed about too. And you did pray about it. And God probably did tell you to do it. And then it just looked like it's all falling apart. I want to ask you a statement. I'm feeling a little lonely right now. Because you're kind of looking at me like, no, Pastor, that only happened to you. And Moses and Joshua. Well, that's pretty good company. Has it happened to you? I don't care how tentative you are, how cautious you are. If you act by faith, sooner or later, you will make a decision that will look like it's one of the worst decisions you've ever made. God will test us that way. To turn around, Moses was still going the right direction. The straw was taken away. Everybody was on him. Joshua was still going the right direction after Ai. They just had to get some things taken care of. Let me give you one more thought. We talked about this. Stay with me. We talked about Abraham and his love for his only son in that trial. We talked, if you would, about when things are falsely accused, like what Joseph went through. And now we're talking about just a little bit about Moses thinking that everything was going well, and he was in God's will, and then it just seems like the wheels fall off. One more, and we'll finish. Look at Job chapter 13. And also, would you pick up Daniel chapter 3? Stay with me. Job chapter 13. Come on, you're doing well. Almost finished. And Daniel chapter 3. You came to church. Let's finish it out. Amen. Remember, if we make it through the trial, it's more important. It's more precious than gold. Job 13, Daniel 3. Job 13 and Daniel 3. Is what's on the inside really what I believe? And does it show up on the outside? A little attitude here in Job chapter 13. And then we're going to turn to Daniel 3 and 1 Peter. I'm sorry, Daniel. We're going to turn to Daniel, Job 13, Daniel 3, and then the book of James, and we'll be finished. Say, man, how many scriptures is that? All that I have written down on the paper. Amen. Happy New Year. That's good. Job 13. Attitude. I'm going to go through it this year. Attitude, verse 15. Job said this, when his friends were down on him, though he slay me, yet will I what? Trust in him. That's what faith is. You know what faith is? Doug, do you trust me? That's what faith is. That's what it boils down to. Doug, do you love me and do you trust me? Insert your name in there. If I slayed you, Doug, would you still trust me? Would you retain your integrity? Do you love me? If I asked you to sacrifice your boy, do you love me? If I asked you to sacrifice one of your children, do you love me? If I put you through it and the straw gets taken away, do you love me? Do you trust me? If someone falsely accuses you and you're set up and sitting there in prison, do you love me? Do you trust me? That's what faith boils down to. Do I love him? Do I trust him on the inside? And does it show up on the outside? All his friends were down on him, old Joe. Everybody was against him. Though he slay me, he said, yet will I do what? Trust him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. Now, brethren, that's exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through. Even when they face being slain, they said, we're going to trust him. Look at Daniel chapter 3. Stay with me, Daniel chapter 3. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God's going to put us through some trials this year. I have no idea what we're going to go through. I don't know what you're going to go through personally. But just knowing that we're in God's wills, if it need be, for a season, we're going to be in some heaviness. Let's say it again. We're going to be in some heaviness. Through manifold temptation, there's going to be some heaviness inside our mind, and our spirit's going to be heavy within us. But that's that trial of faith that's precious. Daniel 3, attitude. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. You know it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If you've never read it before, read through. They were set up, if you would. They were set up because they would not fall down and worship the false gods. And so there was a decree made, and you know the story. And anybody that didn't fall down was going to be cast into the fiery furnace. And they knew they wouldn't fall down. And they said, we're not even careful. We already know the answer to this in verse 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Well, you know what they said? Doesn't matter. If God delivers us, that's fine. If he doesn't deliver us, that's fine. We're not going to do that by principle. We're not going to bow down to that thing. We're not going to give in to it. Even if he slays us, we're going to trust him. Nebuchadnezzar got mad. heated that furnace up 7 times hotter. You ought to read the story. But statement, you know what their faith did? It worked. You say, what do you mean their faith worked? It worked on Nebuchadnezzar. Well, what do you mean? You see, brethren, when our faith shows up on the outside, it works. It works on people around us. Huh? Faith without works is what? Dead. I will show thee my faith by my what? Works. And Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego, you know what they did, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Through their works, through their faith that was on the inside, and the fact that they would not bend down or bow down to him, and they went on into the fiery furnace, and they come out with just the ropes burned off, just that which bound them burned off, not even smelling like smoke. That worked on Nebuchadnezzar. And that's what our faith is geared to do. Now, James, and we finish. James chapter 2, and we finish. Come on, last scripture, all the way. I got all the way to the end. I finished my course on the first Sunday. I endured to the end. There wasn't many funny illustrations. I made it all the way through. You know what I hope happens, James chapter 2? I hope when we need it, God, the Holy Spirit, pulls this tape out of our mind and says, do you remember the message? Do you remember the scriptures? Some of you may be going through it right now, and it's very timely. Look at James chapter 2. The scriptures are always very timely. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And look what he says. And I will show thee my faith by my what? Works. Here's what he says. You can't see what's on the inside of me, but faith is in there. But I'm going to show you something. My faith, which is on the inside that you can't see, will be made known by my actions. That's why it's important to keep coming to church. That's an action. Don't think those neighbors don't see you get in that car and drive away. They're watching. Every Sunday morning you do the same thing. You get in that car and drive away. They know where you're going. You don't dress like this to go to the football game. They know what you're doing. Even if they see faults in you, they see you going. They see what's on the inside by what you do and what I do on the outside. They see it down at the workplace. They see it in our neighborhood. What's on the inside, they can't say. We can talk about it, but what they want to see is, show me. Show me you're different. Prove it. Abraham, offer your son. And he did, accounting that God was able to raise him again from the dead. Joseph, falsely accused, but he didn't get mad at God. Job lost it all. Though he slay me, I'm going to still trust him. Daniel, Meshach, and Shadrach. I got Daniel in that group too, don't I? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood the test. And when you think about Moses, and everybody said, I thought you were going to make it better. I thought we were going to win the wilderness. I thought God was going to carry us out here, and all that's happened is the straw has been taken away. And everybody looked at Joshua and said, here we did. We crossed over Jericho, fell, but here we're at Ai, and we just lost. What's going on, Joshua? It's going to happen sometime. But God is faithful. He won't ever suffer us to be tempted above that we're able. But with the temptation, he always makes that what? Escape. He won't bring about upon us something we're not able to bear. He knows when we're to the end of it. And then he says, the test is over. Oh, thank you, Lord. I was about ready to go under that one. And God says, I know that. I know right where you're at. I know exactly how much you can. I just strengthened you. I just let you go through something you've never been through. And look, your faith is real. Look at it, son. Look at it, daughter. Your faith is real. I just proved to you your faith is real. I just convinced you that what I'm doing on the inside of you is real and genuine, because there's no way you could have made through that yourself. You're not strong enough to make it through that. But I'm strong enough in you. And I'm convincing you that what's inside of you is real. You still got some doubts up there. Even though you sing the songs, even though you say amen, every once in a while you still have some doubts, and I'm taking those doubts away. I'm going to put you through it. And you're going to find out that something inside of you is different than it's ever been before. It's your faith. And you better believe your own faith. And that way others will believe also. Brethren, statement. Words without actions are just words. But when there's actions, that manifests our faith. We're going to go through it this year. In God's will, we're going to go through it. And it's because He loves us. Well, what do we get to do back? We say to Him, I love you. And He says, good. Let's put it to the test. I trust you. And God says, good. Let's put it to the test. And let's show others that your faith is a genuine article. It's the real thing. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, watch this. How many are already saved and you know it and you're going to heaven? What are you waiting for? Jump in. We know we're on our way to heaven. When we sing about heaven, we believe it's a place that we're going to. If when you sing about heaven, all you think is about, well, I hope it's really there. I mean, get it to the place where you go, I'm singing about heaven, and that's where I'm going, and that's my home, and I'm coming there, Lord. That's where it needs to be. If you're not yet saved today, let's do that today. We'll show you how you could be saved. If you're already saved, get ready for the test, the trials. And brethren, let's help each other through it. Look up here. Last little thought. Is that the first time I said that? I got three more times. Stay with me. Last little thought. Somebody is in that trial. The straw's been taken away, or God's asked them to do something, or they made a decision that's not work out. What Christians don't need to do is this. Don't miss it. We don't need to kick them while they're down, because sooner or later, you'll be on the end of that toe. With what measure we mete out, it'll be measured to us again. Best thing to do is say, brother, I can't help you up out of it. I can pray for you, but it looks like you're in it. I wish I could do something for you, but there's nothing really I can do for you. This is you and God. But I want you to know, I care about you. I'll pray for you. I don't judge you. You'll make it on through. But you can't go over and just literally lift him out of it. Because as soon as you lift him out of it, God says, I wasn't done with them yet. That's between me and them. Pray for him, but leave me and him alone. To his own master he standeth upon. Let me work with him. You understand? But we can be an encouragement. We can try to help them on through. That's what church and family and friends and Christianity is, helping each other through. That's all, Stan. Stretch just for a moment. It's the first Sunday of a new year. You can look right up here at me just for a moment. Lord, I don't know when I'm going to face this year. I don't know what we are going to face. I don't know what my family's going to face. I don't know, as an individual, what I'm going to face. But you can see from the beginning of this year, January 1, all the way through to December 31st of this year. You say, everything I'm going to go through. Lord, in that time, please, help me to trust you. Help me to love you. Help me not to, my faith fail not. Help me as I go through that process, that I stay faithful and retain my integrity. Hold me up, help me up. Lift me up, keep me up. And may whatever I do and go through this year help someone else to believe that you're really real. May somebody else see what I go through and see the genuine actions on the outside, because what you've done on the inside. And may they be affected like Nebuchadnezzar was, where they come out and believe in the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. May they, through me, believe in you, Lord. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we want to give you that opportunity today. Now with our heads bowed and eyes closed, it's the first Sunday of a new year. Maybe for yourself, maybe for someone you know, be obedient to the Holy Spirit, please. Please. In the back, in the middle. You'll not disrupt someone if you say, excuse me, I just need to slip out and use an old-fashioned altar. As you come, maybe someone else will come. Let's go ahead and let the instruments play. If you need to come, let's use an altar this morning of decision. Lord, increase my faith. Help me through it. If you want to use that pew right where you're at and just sit down there and have some prayer, or kneel down there and have some prayer. Maybe you want to pray for someone not even in this auditorium, let their faith fail not. Maybe someone not even in our state, across the country. If you want to pray for someone you love and you care about, a relative, someone that's a child or a grandchild, or someone that's a mother or father or grandfather or mother. Maybe you know someone's going through it that's a Christian brother or sister. It's not time to kick them, time to encourage them. Even privately, pray for them. Maybe you feel like...